Today's show starts with a county that doesn't exist and ends with a lake that just wouldn't go away. Brandon from Parts Unknown suggested it, and so in this episode, I'm giving you Lake Matamuskeet. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is the bi-weekly show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. Thank you for joining me on this fine day. It's November 19th, my time. I don't know exactly what day it'll be your time, but it's a chilly day. You can see the sun shining, so it's chilly, but at least the sun's shining on me. I suppose if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the sun shining. If you're listening on a podcast player, you'll just have to take my word for it. Speaking of watching on YouTube, you can see I'm wearing my safety glasses. I decided I wanted to build some cornhole boards, and so that's what I've been working on this morning. And I'm still wearing my work gear, I guess. Anyway, I'm not going to babble along too much. If you like the show by the end of it, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. Check out the links below for more NC Everything, which I'll talk about at the end of the show. And as always, if you are listening on a podcast player and you want to put a face with the voice, check out the link below I'm sure it's in the link below. Anyway, check out the links below for the YouTube channel. And if you're watching on YouTube and you'd rather just listen, that can be found on most podcast players. And I know I completely screwed that up, but I'm pretty tired and I've been up a pretty good while today. But I think I'm tired in every episode. I'm getting that age now where I'm always tired. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into the content. Like I said, I'm going to be talking about Lake Matamuskeet, and some of you know Lake Matamuskeet is in Hyde County. But I did say I was going to talk about a county that doesn't exist anymore. That non-existent county is Bath County. Bath County was formed, and I am saying Bath, just like the town of Bath now. Bath County was formed in 1696, and it ceased to exist in 1739 when it was all broken up. You see, Bath County was a colonial county, and it was broken up into three colonial precincts. Those precincts were named Pamtico, Wickham, and Archdale. Well, in 1705, those colonial precincts were renamed Beaufort, Hyde, and Craven. And in 1712, those three precincts with the new names were made into counties. And so the old Bath County became Beaufort County, Hyde County, and Craven County. And now, let's focus on Hyde County. When I talk about counties, most of the time, I talk about the county seat. That's the, if you don't know, that's the central area for government. So in Orange County, where I live, our county seat is Hillsborough. That's where you'll find the courthouse and any other government offices. That's going to be in the county seat. Well, originally, the Hyde County seat was in a place called Woodstock. But then, somewhere around 1790, the county seat was moved to Bells Bay or Jasper's Creek, depending on who you're talking to. But apparently, all this time, there was a courthouse on the property of a guy named German Bernard. And in 1791, a law was passed establishing a town where the courthouse stands. And so, essentially, wherever there happened to be a courthouse, there needs to be a town. That was the law. And so, German Bernard's land became a newly established town, and the town seat called Germantown. In 1820, the county seat was moved to a place called Lake Landing. And you'll hear me talk about a place. I think I've been through parts of Hyde County, but I haven't been to Lake Matamuskeet. I don't think I've even seen part of it. Now, I have read a lot about Lake Matamuskeet, not just for this podcast. I've read a lot about Lake Matamuskeet before. But yeah, I don't think I've seen much of it. So, you know, I talk about the county seat was moved to a place called Lake Landing in 1820. I honestly don't know if there's still a place called Lake Landing out there in Hyde County. Anyway, the reason the county seat was moved in 1820 to this Lake Landing was because in 1819, all the parts of Hyde County that was west of the Pungo River was given to Beaufort County. And I'll go ahead and say this now. A lot of North Carolinians know this. We have a Beaufort that's spelled B-E-A-U-F-O-R-T. South Carolina has a Beaufort, which is spelled the exact same way. But South Carolina's is Beaufort, North Carolina's is Beaufort. So anyway, part of the county, it gets taken away from the county. The county seat moves to Lake Landing. But then in 1836, the county seat was moved again to a place called Swan Quarter. 14 years later, in 1850, Swan Quarter finally gets a courthouse. Now, even though Hyde County had lost some of the land to Beaufort County, Hyde County would get some more land back. We'll back up a little bit to 1823, and part of Currituck County, which was south of New Inlet, was given to Hyde County. And none of this really has anything to do with Lake Matamuskeet, but since I was visiting Hyde County on the podcast, I figured I'd give you a rundown of the history. So Hyde County gets part of Currituck, and then more land came into Hyde County in 1845 when Ocracoke Island was changed from Carteret County to being part of Hyde County. But then Hyde County lost some land when Hatteras Island was given to Dare County. And I think that's all of the land switching I got to cover. But that takes you from the old Bath County to the three precincts to the three new counties to the three new counties changing shape and size throughout history. And so today, Hyde County has Dare County and Tyrell County to the north, Washington County on the northwest, and Beaufort County to the west. Sorry, I couldn't read my own notes there. Now, on the other side of the Pamlico River is Pamlico County, and on the other side of the Pamlico Sound to the south are Carteret and Craven County. And I know Carteret County pretty well, at least the coastal part of it. We used to vacation there when we were kids. We used to go to Emerald Isle every single year, sometimes multiple times per year. Now, let's back up past the beginning and talk about the Native Americans. Before the Europeans showed up, the whole area that is now Hyde County was populated by various Algonquin Indian tribes. And I say Algonquin, I'm certainly not a go-to for Native American history, but the Algonquin language was what all these tribes spoke, so they were considered, you know, Algonquin tribes. Anyway, the natives that were here were the Cori, the Tuscarora, the Catechni, and the Matamuskeet. And I talked about the Tuscarora in, I think, episode 20 and 21, or 21 and 22. It's a two-part episode on the Tuscarora War. I really enjoyed doing that one. I would check it out. So you got these four major tribes living here, but as you know, in the late 1500s, white man shows up. Eventually, so did the pirates. Check out my episode on Blackbeard for more about that. I think that's episode 6. Today, the island is part of the Cape Hatteras National Seashore. Okay, I had that in my notes, and it seems out of place. Obviously, I must have had a note in here about Hatteras Island. So today, Hatteras Island is part of the Cape Hatteras National Seashore, which I talk about in episode 45. And I know that's kind of a random tidbit of information, but I wrote it, so I gave it to you. Anyway, let's get back to Hyde County, and we'll talk about Lake Matamuskeet. If you look at a map of Hyde County today, most of it is actually the Pamlico Sound. As far as the dryland part of it, the biggest feature in the county on the dryland part is Lake Matamuskeet. Back then, or back in the old days, Matamuskeet encompassed about 100,000 acres, which that seems humongous. I didn't look and see how many acres some of our major lakes are, Carr Lake, Jordan Lake, but 100,000 acre lake seems like a huge one. Anyway, Matamuskeet is considered a natural lake, but it's also a Carolina Bay. And if you listen to episode 46 of the NC Everything podcast, I cover the Carolina Bays. And just a quick rundown why the Carolina Bays are important, or peculiar anyway. Nobody really knows for sure how these bodies of water came to be. You know, some people say they're probably natural, and they probably are, but there's a possibility that they're not natural. Some people have blamed, of course, aliens and meteorites hitting the earth. But these, if you look on a map, these natural lakes, they're all over the place. There's hundreds of them. And nobody really knows for sure how they came to be. As far as Lake Matamuskeet, it's North Carolina's largest natural lake. And it gets its name from the Algonquin word that means dry dust. And the name dry dust for a lake seems like it could be confusing. I mean, it is kind of confusing. But I had read somewhere that scientists think that a meteor had hit the earth in what is now Hyde County, and it left this big old dry, dusty hole. And that may be where it got its name. But eventually, the hole did fill with water, but not before Native Americans named it Dry Dust, or Matamuskeet. Another less exciting possibility is that a fire burned in the area, literally burning a hole in the ground, and it could have got its name Dry Dust or Matamuskeet from that. It sounds more plausible, though, the burning, because when I say hole in the ground, Matamuskeet itself isn't very deep at all. It's about 14 miles long and 5 miles wide, but the depth of the lake ranges from only 6 inches to about 4 feet, so you could essentially walk across the lake in any place. Another interesting thing about Matamuskeet, you know, again, it's the Carolina Bay, there's no rivers, creeks, or streams feeding into it like like other man-made or natural lakes. The water levels in Matamuskeet depend solely on rain and groundwater. But despite the fact that it doesn't have any lakes or rivers feeding into it, it was nonetheless a humongous gathering spot for Native Americans who were looking for shelter, hunting, and fishing. Now, white man supposedly first saw Matamuskeet in 1585 during one of Sir Walter Raleigh's first journeys to the New World. The colonists came in, they built settlements. Then the Tuscarora War happened, which is episode 21 and 22. I got it here in my notes. After the Tuscarora War, a reservation was established at Matamuskeet in 1715. Now, like most Native American reservations, the white man gave the natives, you know, shitty land that they felt like they didn't want. It was poor, terrible land. But was it actually poor or terrible land? Of course not. The thing is, around Matamuskeet, that's what they call bottom land. Land that's, you know, around swampy areas, it's covered in a lot of fresh water. And what happens is all these microorganisms die in the fresh water and settle to the bottom. So the soil underneath all this water, and it may even smell like stagnant water, but the soil underneath all this water is super, super fertile soil. And it wasn't long before the settlers figured this out. And a bill was passed by the Provincial Congress in 1703 to drain Matamuskeet so they could use that sweet, sweet land. Well, the rural governor at the time, a man named Josiah Martin, he didn't want to hear that noise, and he vetoed the bill and shut it down. But the idea never fully went away. It did go dormant for a really long time, but nobody ever forgot about this really fertile land that was hiding underneath that water. Now, if you fast forward 134 years, it's 1911. The lake is now owned by this group called the State Literacy Board. And I'm not sure what this is. I tried to look it up and get some history on the Literacy Board, but I really couldn't find out much. But somehow, they came to own the lake and the area around it, and they decided to dig a big canal to help drain this water out of Matamuskeet. Again, the whole goal is get rid of the water and farm on the fertile dirt that's underneath. So they get together a bunch of slave labor, and they dig a 7-mile canal from the south shore of the lake all the way to the Pamlico Sound. And after the canal was opened up, it seemed like it was working. The lake shrank down from, you know, I'd said it was about 100,000 acres. It shrank down to about 55,000 acres, so about half its size. The planters came in, and they started planting seed, and farming boomed around the lake. Well, after a few years, like I said, the lake didn't completely dry up. About half of it did. Well, after a few years, they wanted even more space. They wanted even more of this sweet, sweet dirt, like I talked about. And so in 1909, the state legislature, created the Matamuskeet Drainage District. And in this district, more canals were dug in an attempt to drain the lake even more. But the problem was, after this point, they just couldn't get the lake to drain. I mean, they would dig the ditches and the lake would go down and then it'd come back up. And it drained down and it'd come back up. No matter how much they dug and drained, Matamuskeet just wasn't going quietly into the night. Well, then in 1911, the legislature creates a 3-man board of commissioners to figure out how to get rid of this pesky lake and cash in on that bottom land. They decide that instead of trying to drain the lake, they'll just pump all the water out. And they built the largest pumping station in the world at that time. However, the lake remained. Matamuskeet was drained 3 times between 1916 and 1926. And 3 times, she filled back up. And that's the thing. It wasn't that the canals and the pumps weren't working. They were working just fine. It just wasn't sustainable. Like I said, they would drain it down and start cheering and hoorahing, and then the lake would slowly fill back up. So it was costing them a fortune to try to keep this lake drained down. In fact, on that third try of them draining the lake did it drained down over almost all the way, and it stayed gone for 5 years, and then it came back again. And after this final failure, they finally decided to throw in the towel and let Mother Nature have its way. In 1934, the government bought the land and created the Matamuskeet National Wildlife Refuge. But it also says in December of that year, they named the land around Matamuskeet the Matamuskeet Migratory Waterfowl Refuge. So I'm not sure if those are two different things or not, but this was during the Great Depression. Now, the reason I mentioned the Depression is because one thing that came out of the Great Depression was the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. And I've mentioned them in a few other episodes before. The Civilian Conservation Corps, CCC, was a program that was designed to give unemployed folks a job. So they were assigned to work on conservation and resource development projects all around the country. Well, the CCC went to work down there at Matamuskeet, and they built a new wildlife refuge. They gutted the old pumping station and began to convert it into a hunting lodge. They took out all that old pumping equipment and renovated the building. It would open in 1937 and operate until 1974 as that hunting lodge. The CCC also built 15 wetland impoundments totaling 2,505 acres. And these waterfowl impoundments, we have a few around Jordan Lake close to me. It's, you know, it's not necessarily a protected area, but it's a place where the birds can come in, and it's a feeding area. When they're migrating, they can stop in and feed and make babies. And, you know, it's, but again, you're allowed to hunt out there. It's not a safe haven for them, but it, you know, it's not fully protected, but it is, it's protected from development and land destruction. Now, I said that that hunting lodge closed in 1974. From that point on, it just kind of sit there and rotted. But in 2006, Congress gives North Carolina the deed to Matamuskeet Lodge under one condition. They would have to restore the building and maintain the old facility and use it as a facility dedicated to conservation. And so the state agreed, and they've been working on that mission ever since. And that's the end of my Lake Matamuskeet episode. Today, Lake Matamuskeet Wildlife Refuge is now 50,180 acres, with 40,000 acres being used by the lake itself. And a lot of my episodes, I try to get down to the locations I'm going to be talking about before I record, so I can kind of see for myself. I didn't really have that chance for Matamuskeet. Right now, we're a few days before Thanksgiving, and, four or five days before Thanksgiving. And for our Thanksgiving, we'll be heading to the mountains to see some family. However, I will be heading to the coast on Christmas Day. I'll be going my annual Christmas beach vacation down to Myrtle. And if I can talk the wife into it, maybe we'll swing up by Matamuskeet on the way home. I know it's not on the way home, but neither is Gettysburg, and we went to Gettysburg from Myrtle Beach one time just out of boredom. So maybe I can talk her into letting me go see Matamuskeet there at right around New Year's. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the show. I mentioned the links earlier. I know if you're watching on YouTube, there'll be links in the description below. Check those out. There's a link for the Facebook group. There's a link for Tasting NC, which is a YouTube show I do with my wife. And we just recorded our Thanksgiving episode. And my favorite link is the contact link. If you don't see the contact link, you can still contact me at thenceverythingpodcast@gmail.com. That's my email address. I love that link because I love hearing from everybody. And like Brandon, who suggested this episode, if you have an idea for episode, feel free to write in. And if I can put together a show on it, I certainly will. Anyway, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And if you're around Lake Matamuskeet and I got something wrong in this episode, write in, let me know. If you got some pictures of Lake Matamuskeet, I'd love to see them on the Facebook page, or you can send them to me directly. And I think I am plumb out of things to say. So you guys take care, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.